Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to our hour number two here on this Friday edition of the Hagman and Hagman Report, January 8th, 2016. And I am happy it's a Friday. I don't know about you guys. It's been a long and trying week, but we're going to continue on and get into some news this hour. We're going to have John Little in hour number three. He's going to come on to talk to us about what he sees going on in the economy. There's been fluctuations and kind of a chaotic week in the markets across the world, beginning in Asia, it started, and it has its ripple effect over here into American stock market, and really not a way to start the new year in the financial market, not, at least not the way they wanted it to be, I would say. But before we get into that, we have a few quick
announcements. Yeah, in studio guest, hi folks, Doug Hagman. Thank you, John. I just want to thank, the last hour ran out before I kind of just lost track of the first hour and it ran out before the break. And I just want to say thank you to all of the people who have sent me emails and, you know, thank you very much. My wife certainly appreciates it and I certainly appreciate it as well. Pastor York's church members there. I just haven't had a chance to respond to really any of them, and I just want to say thank you. God bless each and every one of you. And how's a young kid doing? How's he doing? How do you do this week?
Me?
I don't know. I
was not in the right frame of mind. There's been a lot of stuff going on behind the scenes.
Yeah,
everything's all right, but thank the Lord that Pastor Langford and Steve were on Wednesday, and then Paul McGuire was on yesterday. Because if it was just me, I would have nosedived right out, right out of the studio.
Yeah, you know, we want to thank certainly thank them, and thank each and every one of you for your kind support, your prayers, and being there. Without you, we would not have a show. And again, it was only probably at an hour before airtime that I was not planning on coming on, and I'm not staying. I just want to come on and say thank you to everyone. I was totally unexpected to be here, but I want to finish up the hour, or I want to finish up what I was saying earlier, because again, the clock ran out on me. But before I do, I just want to mention that portions of tonight's broadcast brought to you by nuts.com. folks, you know what, nuts are just a tremendous snack to have around. And during the holidays when we entertained, we had a gathering of 30 people. And, man, the snacks that we had from nuts.com were the first to go. I mean, everyone had them. Everyone liked them. In fact, I had a couple of extended family members say, hey, you know, where did you get these? The aroma, by the way, of the nuts, the cashews, the peanuts, it was just fantastic. The smell, it was just... The aroma, not the smell, but the aroma was just amazing. You open a bag, and it's just like being, you know, walking through that, the places where they roast peanuts and such. But folks, we found this incredible website, nuts.com. What a website it is. You could spend days, hours there looking at all the variety of nuts that they've got. Here's the deal. Go to nuts.com, NUTS.com, and you're going to see on the right-hand side there, like a little dialog box. Click on that. If you're watching it in real time right now, you can actually see it take place. Our code in the microphone box is HH for Hagman and Hagman, HH. And once you enter that, you click the Go button there, that little green button, and it takes you right to our special page at nuts.com. And there, what a fantastic offer they've got. Right now, you can, by going to nuts.com, new customers get four free samples to choose. You can choose from over 50 options. It's a $15 value when you go to nuts.com and enter HH in the microphone box. That's nuts.com. Enter our code HH for four free samples with your order for new customers. With your order, so you got to buy something. But it's well worth it. And you can choose, you know, you can choose your samples and you can get a taste. Oh, and you will want more, I guarantee you. Right now, new customers, four free samples. Choose from over 50 options. It's really a $15 value. When you go to nuts.com, click the mic and enter our code HH. The company, 1929, they started out, it's family owned business. They pride themselves on delivering the best tasting snacks, nuts in the world. And I tell you, it is. They use only the freshest products from the best suppliers. It's a really easy to use site. And that you can actually buy by the case, by the pound. It's certified organic, certified gluten-free, with or without salt if you choose, raw, sugar-free. Folks, it's 100% satisfaction guaranteed. Nuts.com, that's nuts.com. Microphone code HH. You can't go wrong. It's got our seal of approval on it. And that's that. Now, oh, you know, did you catch Tuesday's program, Michael Terrell? Did you catch it?
I missed it.
Yeah, you, yeah. What a program that was.
Yeah, Whole Tones.
WholeTonesLive.com. WholeTonesLive.com. And even remember that, WholeTonesLive.com. WholeTonesLive.com.
From all the feedback we've gotten from those who have purchased the product and used it, it's been overwhelmingly positive. I was even more surprised by Mr. Terrell and what kind of a man he was. And
we're going to have him back on because, you know, frequencies, and this is, there's physics and science behind frequencies. This is not New Age. This is biblically based, and it's scientifically based and physics based. I actually had the occasion to have this playing in the background for my wife earlier in the week, and you know, it made her feel pretty good. I mean, it's, you can download free samples. Go to WholeTonesLive.com. That's WholeTonesLive.com. Do yourself a favor. Download some of the samples. Different hertz levels for different effect moods and healings and whatever. And I gotta tell you, it really works. Lady, our studio dog, responds to it. That's WholeTonesLive.com. Fantastic product, highly recommended, and it calms. You can have calming effect, healing effect, but do some research, folks, in frequencies, because it is really something to understand. I'm going to just say one more thing here, and then I'm going to get out of here. I do have some things I've got to take care of, and again, this was unscheduled. I wasn't planning on doing it. I think I got in my wife's way, and she said, "You know, I've had about enough of you." And get out. But no, seriously. So we went over the guns issue. That's a big issue. Yeah. Ladies and gentlemen, please don't underestimate what's taking place. Let me go ahead. I just want to bring you forward to where we got here, and then I'm blown out of here. And I will be back next week. Okay, so everything's fine. But I just needed some time to take care of some issues here with my wife, so hopefully you understand that. And I want to thank Joe for being such a, and Eric and everyone, JD and Rhonda, God bless you, and Joe Stahl, thank you so much for covering my six. How we got here, I just want to address this briefly, because I got an email from someone. We had talked about Disney one day. Eric, remember, I'm going to yell over you, Eric, remember that time we mentioned about Disney being kind of an odd situation, kind of odd, a weird thing going on with Disney in terms of, you know. I got an email saying, you're nuts.
When you say Disney, do you mean, because there's a lot of stuff that's out there that's known, from Walt Disney to, and his,
Yeah, Walt Disney in particular.
And then
Walt Disney and Disney World, in the movies. Right. Right. Well, here's, and this is important to understand, if you look at where we're at today, and to understand where we're at, how we got here, you should understand how we got here, because the elements, the components of what is taking place today with respect to the mind control that we see taking place via our television sets, as well as the mass-controlled, Illuminati-controlled mass media, you see, here's the important thing. It's all been decades in the making. It's all been since television first began. Then it was taken over by the mind control experts that originated in the occult Nazi. Yeah, there I said it again. Nazi occult practices perfected by the Tavistock Institute, perfected by Edward Bernays. Of course, Paul McGuire talks about and writes about Edward Bernays. But here's the thing. We've been affected by this even from little children. And this has layers of effects, including climate change. Another issue that's going on right now. And I'm gonna go through this real quick. there's another key, really a key area of brainwashing. And this is directly related to population control, gun control, everything we see taking place today. Have you noticed, folks, the creating of identity between man and animal? All right. Now, it's cute. Okay. I love Lady, our studio dog. I loved King. I loved my other dog, Holly. But the personification of animals, okay, yeah, that's dangerous.
One thing I've seen is people who have empathy and compassion for, you know, an animal that had died or was abused. Yeah, but the people, you know, if there's the same scenario and a person was involved that they didn't know who died, they could care less.
That's right, yeah. Well, a number of television shows and major motion pictures portray animals and have portrayed animals acting like humans. And over time, and this according to many studies, children lost their ability to differentiate between most animals and human beings. All right? The format shows, if you look at Lassie, for example, and this is heavily, I'm citing heavily now from Daniel Estulin. He's written a book about Tavistock Institute. But the animal was a hero who often defeated, really single-handedly defeated, bad people who wanted to hurt Timmy. Remember Timmy? Hey, Timmy's in the well. Timmy fell in the well. You know, all of this identification with animals, with an animal, and the blurring of that distinction between what is human and what is animal played back into this generation. This is what we're seeing right now in this generation. Just, again, think of Cecil the Lion. Well, it's the lunacy behind the environmental movement as well. Even before there was television, we had preconditioning going on with young people for the non-rational cartoons. You look at Snow White. We could do a show solely on Snow White. Walt Disney, full-length feature cartoons. Again, Snow White, Cinderella, Sleeping Beauty, Pinocchio.
Lion King, Aladdin.
There you go, Little Mermaid, right? Beauty and the Beast. Without ever realizing it, folks, adults and children together alike have been subjected to over a half a century, well over a half a century, of programming of the most vile nature, aimed at becoming, well, if you look at the feature length cartoons, for example, they were aimed the feature length cartoons were aimed at becoming universal experiences for generations of children, for generations of their parents. Oh, this is just, they contain moral messages within these films that could stay with a child throughout their adult life. And we're seeing a bunch of man children today because of this. But more importantly, this is the background for the green movement. And I'm not saying animal rights is a bad thing, but when you personify, and you, like you said, Joe, holding up Cecil the Lion over anyone else, over people.
Yeah, when you have
when you got a better, bigger outcry over Cecil the Lion than you do the
3,000
abortions a day, you got a problem.
Absolutely, and you know we see. And I think I mentioned this earlier in the week. We received a bumper sticker from one of the listeners who I can't remember exactly what it said, but the message was basically how if abortions were performed with guns, would it matter then? To the liberals out there, because you see and I was talking with my wife
that's a good, because I wish I would have thought of that.
And she never, we talked about the abortions and how many, I told her there's over 3,000 abortions a day in America, and she kind of was taken back by that. She didn't know the volume that was, you know, being killed on a daily basis for decades.
And I dare say satanic sacrifice is involved in a lot of them. And people roll their eyes and say, oh, that can't be. You're full of, you know, beans and whatever. But go on.
And you know, I had the satellite radio on, and they were talking about the presidential executive gun measures, and she was just it was like a she had some moment of clarity when it comes to the taking away of guns, the hypocrisy of the guns versus abortion. And I asked, why do they care so much or say they care about protecting human lives when it comes to gun violence, yet advocate and you know, give hundreds of millions of dollars to the Planned Parenthood? And it all started from a bumper sticker that said defund Planned Parenthood, and she asked a question about it. But it was just interesting how you know, it kind of, she finally, the light bulb went off in her head, and I was like, well, wow, that's and people don't pay attention to news and current events like we do.
But when you think about it, see, there's that moment of lucidity when you say, okay, now I understand. And now if you understand the backdrop, because what many people don't realize, Walt Disney himself and his brother were producing World War II propaganda films managed by the Committee for Morale. Did you know even that the Committee for Morale even existed?
Committee for Morale. Yeah. Is it to decide how much to lower the bar each year?
Yes. Well, Disney cartoons were not to make people think, but to make, but to feel. Something that Disney said would unify his audience, both consisted of parents and children, at an emotionally infantile level. Now think about that. You see, Disney and the degenerates at the Frankfurt School and Tavistock are on the same page, because there are people such as Adorno, who is it? Tom Adorno, Tim Adorno. You got a, and also his, I believe it's his brother, Ken. But anyway, they spoke about using the media and the spire to convey emotional-laden messages to force a retardation in an adult, or the retardation of an adult society.
And again, through emotion? Like an emotional...
An emotional retardation system through brainwashing via your television and these Disney cartoons. This is a product of Tavistock and the United States government and the governments of the West. So you got to understand. So when you see today... the green movement, the save the planet. You look at the Georgia Guidestones. We have to maintain the planet levels under a half a million or half a billion. Where'd this come from? It's pre-programmed into your head. So then you have conservatives now being classified or being, they could be denied guns because of mental disorder. This is how it all wraps together. You see, you've been brainwashed and conditioned to think in a way that you should not have been. And Disney, and I got that email saying you're crazy about Disney. Well, do your research. Do your own research. It's right there.
Yeah. To add to what you just said, Disney, there's no question about it, because not only can you see it in the images of, still images of parts of the movies, where they put things like the word sex in, I think that was Aladdin, in clouds that dissipate, or they have a drawing of genitalia that is not obvious, but when it's pointed out, it's very obvious. They, and the, what you just spoke about, the emotional manipulation to where people are, you see the anger and the disconnect when people can't debate with the opposing view. It's not a mental disorder because somebody disagrees with you, which is what we see with these people. Any opposition to what they believe is deemed insanity, is deemed irrational, and it's no longer, you know, you can't sit and have a discussion and disagree and continue to talk. It is to the point where people are not able to cope or mentally... without getting so angry, they just, you know, we've seen it too often. You try to talk to somebody about what you see the truth as. They don't see the truth as the same, but you can't have a discussion about it because people can't articulate it in a way that makes sense in their own mind. They will fly off the handles. They'll get mad. They'll yell because they can't argue or critically think this through, these arguments through, these And I'm not even articulating myself.
No, I know. Right. I get that.
But
there's
no longer friendly discourse and debate. It is to the point where people lose it when you try to
have a
different opinion.
Yes.
And do it respectfully. Yeah, because of the brainwashing, of the emotional immaturity. And when you were talking about that, it reminded me of teachings that you hear in rehabs and stuff like this, where if you start using substances, and I think Ted talked about this, that your mental growth stops at that age.
Yep.
And not until you get clean or get away from that lifestyle does your mental capacity to grow again. Yep. So if you start drinking alcohol on a regular basis when you're 14, you're mentally a 14-year-old until you stop that.
There's repair necessary to get back to the regrowth. So you're behind already. Now, I'm going to take this a step further. Oh, man. I got to get out of here.
Yeah, you can go.
But I want to just take this a step further.
You got four minutes.
Because it's important for people to understand this. Because we haven't even gotten into the insidious part of this, the more vile, the scarier aspect of this Disney circus. And in Woodstock, boy, next week, I really want to get into this. And folks, tell me, what do you think about this? Do you think we should get into this? In addition to the current news, but the background behind some of this, because Woodstock, for example, oh yeah, thanks. I've been doing a lot of research. Did you say this at all?
I asked Paul about that yesterday, yeah.
Okay. And this is something, I'm going to get back to Disney in a second, but this is something, I've been doing a lot of research on the counterculture, folks, and even back behind that into the Nazi, occult. Again, I said Nazi. Go send me an email. I'm going to get in your head. Now, Paul McGuire wrote about that in the Babylon Code, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. He wrote about that in the Prophecy of the Future of America. He wrote that in Mass Awakening. I had an aha moment when I was researching Woodstock. Did you know that Woodstock was actually a Central Intelligence Agency experiment through the Tavistock Institute and its American offshoot, Stanford and MIT? Did you know that? Did you know that? You might have been there. LSD was passed out. Acid was passed out with the imprimatur of the CIA. Drugs, heroin, all CIA initiatives. Television today, all CIA initiatives. Part of the not CIA, but it's all part of a larger plan.
The Hollywood industry basically works with the intelligence community, and it's been said on our show by a number of guests who are have been there and worked in these fields that they basically have a hand-in-hand relationship with each other, where the films are not released or without getting clearance from the intelligence communities, and the intelligence communities also give storylines, information, and or things for the movie makers to insert into the movies. So it is it's just propaganda. Okay. I mean, when you have the CIA and Hollywood intertwined, pretty much to the point where you probably have CIA offices in Hollywood.
Well, you do. You do. Actually, that's very true. You do have that. You have this incestuous relationship between the CIA and offshoots of Tavistock with Hollywood in the cinematic aspects.
And if the movie industry and TV industry was just for entertainment purposes only, there would be no reason for that to be.
Of course not. And I just want to finish this up, because talking about Disney, how many people, Mickey Mouse Club, remember that? The ears.
Mm-hmm. Remember my grandma and grandpa took me and my sister to Disney World? We met Mickey Mouse and we got our Mickey ears, and it was fun.
It's okay. This is the scarier part of the Disney circus, because for the past 50 plus years, one of the most popular children's shows on television was this synthetic mix of real people, live music, cartoons, live interaction between humans and people dressed up as animal characters. You know, how many people realize that Mickey Mouse Club was a sinister experiment in mass brainwashing of children through television. Every child at home, you were watching this at home and singing along. You know, why? Why? Because we love you. You know, wearing your mouse ears. Well, this was an experiment, and every child at home was being indoctrinated in a membership ritual. With promoting from television, and was urged to sing along with songs and words that flashed. Remember that flashing on the screen? Okay. Identify with animal figures. At the end of the show, there was a sermon by a group leader, a young male adult, just saying, okay, whose preaching was reinforced from the in-studio Mouseketeers. Oh, yeah. All of this was done while children at home and on stage wore their ears and gave the club a salute. I'll give you a salute. How many people understand today that while they're giving their Mouseketeer salute, they were actually being fed a new pagan-like religion and its newly installed god, the mouse? And, of course, we see that god, small g, into now transformed into what we have with respect to the green agenda. If you extrapolate a bit further, parents stepped aside, allowed a mouse, or rather the television, through a Mickey Mouse to give values to a generation of children who would teach the same, well, I would teach the same values in most cases to their children and their children's children. You're looking at really four successive generations subjected to television brainwashing over that period of time.
And look at the Disney Club. You know, the kids in the Disney Club. Yep. Some of them, like Britney Spears, and ended up being these, you know, big pop stars, and many who have openly expressed how they had sold their soul for fame and fortune. But
Where did we see this before?
The breakdown of their mental capacity, the overwhelming tragedies that, you know, come upon them. It's just, there's just so many sad stories of those people who were, you know, brought up in that arena of being child entertainers, and the people around them, the sexual abuse that had went on, the exploitation of these people, the rituals that were involved.
Yep.
There's some, you know, B-list, C-list actors that have since come out and said they used to go to snuff parties where they would attend a party where a person was murdered for entertainment purposes. I mean, the culture of the entertainment industry and what it has created is bad enough. But when you have it based around the truth of, you know, just the acting out of pure evil, and then they glorify it in the movies, in the TVs, and indoctrinate and brainwash anybody who subjects themselves to it. It's just evil on top of evil on top of evil. And I don't think we'll really understand the depths of it until everything's all said and done.
Well, we can just look at Edward Bernays. When you look at...
And Nick Biggs wrote a book that deals with a lot of this too, Mind Control.
Well,
it deals with a lot of Bernays and Disney.
That's right. And Tavistock heavily. Daniel Estulin, Tavistock Institute. I'm citing heavily there from him. But, you know, you look at Disney, you look at Mickey Mouse. I do want to say that in another time, in another place, what did you see? You saw the Hitler Youth of Nazi Germany. They had their rituals. They had their uniforms. They had their symbols. They had their songs. They had their leaders. They had their leaders who preached sermons. They too were told to listen to their parents and become and be patriotic, polite, and well-behaved. The trick was to make the Nazis disappear so disappear behind this Orwellian style brainwashing. It's not the ideology though that disappears, but the origins. And you see Mickey Mouse, Hitler, same thing. And you think, wait, what do you, huh? What do you just say?
I understood you.
When you think,
it sounds
think. Oh yes, but see, Bernays, and don't forget, all of this was done. If you, as we look at these stories today, and I'm going to just one more thing. You know, German elites target hate speech after migrant rape spree. If you want to, you understand that we are being fed a lie with respect to gun control here in the United States. I'm sounding the alarm there, but I'm also sounding this because this is coming to the United States. German elites target hate speech after migrant rape spree. You see, they're responding to a wave of sexual assaults by Arabic and North African migrants on New Year's Eve by cracking down on alleged hate speech. Yeah, that's how to do it. And see, how are they accomplishing this? The people are asleep. Why? I just told you why.
Not only are they asleep, they are left defenseless. And, you know, you mentioned the sexual attacks that have been going on. There's new information and news about these in Sweden, I think, which is now the new rape capital of the world. More horror sex attacks. Teen girls gang raped by 4 Syrian nationals in Germany.
Stop there for a second, because you asked me earlier on about Merkel and Clinton.
Yes.
Okay, well, you know, Merkel invited with open arms and installed in Germany 1.1 million Muslim migrants into that country in 2015. 1.1 million.
Yep, and the interesting thing
is... Stay tuned, it's coming.
Now, not too long ago, you know, she made a move. She tried to say that, you know, we're going to stand against the immigration. We're not going to allow it to continue in our country. But like you said, the damage was already done.
That's right.
They already brought the and let them come in. And to take a fake, half-hearted stand against it after you've already allowed it.
But this goes so deep. We know this Judeo-Christian culture is being erased from our country, and it's being done under the guise of tolerance. Tolerance of evil is what we have. The conservatives will be denied guns because of mental disorders. That is conservatism and its offshoots being a mental disorder. Mental disorders. I told you about what's going on in Lexington, Massachusetts with this idiot, am I allowed to say that? I don't even know. Okay. With this Robert Rotberg, a citizen of the town of Lexington, that's taking place. People are saying, he writes too, my proposed amendment, Chapter 97 of the Code of Lexington, would be in no way affect ordinary gun or handgun ownership in Lexington. It would, however, prohibit the possession within town limits of assault weapons, semi-automatic rifles that have the capacity to accept large capacity magazines. It's your definition of large. Bottom line is here, you see the language is being used against us. The language is being used against us because of the brainwashing. Folks, I just want to say thank you so much. This was an unexpected appearance tonight. I will be back in full next week. I just want to say thank you to every person that reached out and, you know, for my wife and you know, she'll be fine. She'll be fine. We got some tests around and things going on and a lot of stuff going on. So, but thank you. But thank you for all of the kindness that you've shown us and for your prayers and support. And I just want to say it means so much to me. Each and every one of you means so much to me. And, again, JD, Rhonda, Joe, Eric, Joe, God bless you. Thank you for everything you've done. And until next week, I've got to run.
Ladies and gentlemen, our first in-studio guest. No. Wow. 20 minutes till the top of the hour. And that was good. Excellent, excellent stuff we covered. Heavy, though, as we consider what it means and where we go from here and how to deal with it, because it has already completely encompassed our society and way of life. And people are so comfortable now with working and coming home and sitting on the couch and turning the TV on. They don't think twice about what they're watching. I mean, but I don't know. It's just the History Channel or, you know, I'm not watching anything crazy, gory, or it doesn't matter. All the programming, radio, film that is on the mainstream has a purpose. It has a hidden, overt, and subtle message in there. It has the predictive programming. It has the subconscious and behind the scenes. I forget the term. When you watch TV and your brain falls into the hypnotic type state, and I don't remember why I can't remember the word, but just by turning on the TV. It said the first time you turn on the TV, it takes 45 seconds of watching the TV before the flickerate makes your brain into a suggestible state. The second time, it takes 5 seconds. And then that's the way it is for the rest of the time of your life watching TV. And this is all going to end badly for people who refuse to unplug from the world and what the world is offering and go back to the basics, go back to the root in the word. It's going to end badly. We're going to spend the rest of this hour getting into some important news and information, and then we're going to be joined by John Little of OmegaShock.com after the break. So with the 20 minutes we have left, we will hit the news that is important. Financial news first. The Dow has closed down triple digits as stocks end one of the worst first weeks ever. U.S. stocks closed about 1% lower Friday, ending the year's first trading week with sharp losses as concerns about China and global economic slowdown persist. And my comment just to that first paragraph is the global economic slowdown has been an ongoing trend since the so-called recession in 2009. And I know, folks, you remember after a few years of the recession, they being the media, the economists, would begin to say things like we are seeing the recession ending and the economy's picking up. You remember the unemployment rates when Bush left office were 8%, very high. And now we're supposed to believe they're around 5%, even though the conditions are so much worse than when Bush did leave office. And the national debt we see is at $18 trillion plus. And that was, at the end of the last administration, about $9 trillion. So Bush doubled the national debt by, in his term, 8 years, and Obama has done the same in his 8 years, doubling the national debt again, spending more than all presidents before him combined, and will go on TV and say that he has cut the national debt in half. Don't know how that is justified or gets away with it, but that's what they claim. And continuing with this economic news, the Dow Jones Industrial Average and the S&P 500 had their worst first five-day performance of the year in history, according to data from Howard Silverblatt, senior index analyst at S&P Dow Jones Indicates. The major index has lost out this week and losses of nearly 6% or more. They're worse since 2011. The major averages struggled for gains throughout the session before turning lower as the close approaches. I don't think anyone who wants to take on any risk for this weekend. You just had the worst week in the start of the new year in market history. Why would you want to go out long? Jeremy Klein, chief market strategist. The Dow Jones Industrial Average closed near session lows, down 167 points, more than giving up opening gains of 137 points. Then it gets into individual companies and how they did. But the charts and graphs, if I don't know how much, Eric, you can maybe see this here. 6 month weekly performance. I'll blow this up. These charts, I don't have them handy, but what I'll have to do for next week is we'll have to put some together, because when you look at the throughout Obama's presidential administration, and we can even take it back through Bush's since 9/11, probably that's a good place to start. It's interesting how our economy is, things are getting more expensive, jobs are becoming harder to find, the people on welfare and other government entitlements and programs have increased to about 50 million Americans. Yet we see this trend where the stock market is hitting record highs. And that's just the manipulation of the markets. And we've had so many economists on who have talked about this. I wanted to get Jerry Robinson back on, and we're going to try and do that here for this month. Follow the money. He sends us updates all the time, and you can subscribe for the free updates at followthemoney.com. But he has some great insights, and they monitor trends, both good and bad. And he's one of the few people I know who said, you know, he can take a stock market crash and make money on it. Not that that was something he said that he was bragging about, but his point was that in any financial climate, if you know what you're doing, you can make financial gain from it, even though it's other people's loss. And that's what these people do. They manipulate the stock prices. They have these high volume trades, and they do these quick trades, pennies on the dollar, or pennies differences, but these millions of transactions with, you know, pennies here and there add up to hundreds of millions of dollars over periods of weeks. And the manipulation is so much so that some people in the financial sector are retiring because they just can't honestly conduct business with other people's money, knowing it is being used only to gain money for the few financial elite who not only know how to work the system, but know how to control it. All right, moving on. We did touch on the Obama gun comment about him talking about this as a conspiracy. And I'm going to read part of the transcript here from Anderson Cooper's interview, Obama on the conspiracy to take away guns. The United States was born on suspicious of some distant authority. And this was a comment the president made while on Anderson Cooper. This, Mark Kelly. Often when you hear in the debate of expanding background checks to more gun sales, and as you know, Gabby and I are 100% behind the concept of somebody getting a background check before buying a gun. Gabby Gifford is who he's referring to, a politician who was shot in the head by a gunman in Texas who survived, and that gunman killed a judge, a federal judge, and shot several others during that, I think it was in 2009 in Arizona. It goes on to say, when testified in front of the Senate Judiciary Committee, we heard not only from the gun lobby, but from the United States senators that expanding background checks will lead to a registry, a gun registry, which will lead to confiscation, which will lead to a tyrannical government. So I would like you to explain, with 350 million guns in 65 million places, households from Key West to Alaska, 350 million objects in 65 million places, if the federal government wanted to confiscate those objects, how would they do that? Then Obama says, well, look, first of all, every time I see Gabby, I am just so thrilled because I visited her in the hospital, and as I mentioned, I think in the speech in the White House when we left the hospital to go to a memorial service, we got word that Gabby opened her eyes for the first time. We did not think she was going to be here, and she is. Mark's been extraordinary. That's her husband. And by the way, Mark's twin brother is up in space right now. Okay. To the gun stuff. Anderson Cooper says, now let me jump in here. Is this fair to call it a conspiracy? And what are they referring to in conspiracy? The president said, there's a long history. It's in your DNA. The United States was born of suspicious of some distant authority. So, again, Anderson Cooper jumps in and says, is it fair to call it a conspiracy? The president says, well, yeah. Anderson Cooper responds by saying, there's a lot of people that really believe this deeply. And Obama says, I'm sorry, Cooper. Yes, it is fair to call the conspiracy, to call it a conspiracy, what you are saying. Are you suggesting that the notion that we are creating a plot to take everybody's guns away so that we can impose martial law? Cooper says, not everybody, but there's certainly a lot. Obama goes on to say, but a conspiracy? Yes, that is a conspiracy. I would hope that all would agree with that. And he went on to say, what I mean to say, I'm going to be here for another year. I don't know when I would have started on this enterprise. I come from the state of Illinois, which we've been talking about, Chicago. The downstate Illinois is closer to Kentucky than it is to Chicago. Everybody hunts down there, and a lot of folks own guns. And this is not like alien territory to me. I've got a lot of friends, like Mark, who are hunters, who just came back from Alaska and ate a moose that was shot, and it was very good. So yes, it is a false notion that I believe it is circulated for political reasons or commercial reasons in order to prevent a coming together among people of goodwill to develop a common sense rules that will make it safer while preserving the Second Amendment. And he goes on to continue to talk about how guns have paralyzed our, gun violence have paralyzed our society, and making sure that we keep the guns out of the hands of those who are either mentally incompetent or criminally have a criminal history, and he goes on to talk about the drug manufacturers and the people who are on drugs and how they need to have a registry for people who are on medications who try to apply for guns, and how that should basically, if you're on medication, you should not be allowed to own a gun. But what is telling here is the fact that Obama, as he and the administration draft and implement executive actions on firearms to limit the ability to get those for law-abiding citizens, while at the same time saying it's not a conspiracy to take away your guns, just goes to show you that these people can get away with anything. I mean, they're doing something right in front of your face, announcing it, while out of the other side of their mouth saying, no, it's a lie, we're not doing this. And nobody's held accountable, ever. He has done nothing but lie. I would venture to say every statement he's made as president, you can go look and find that the opposite was in fact the case. You can keep your doctor. You can keep your health plan. I mean, it goes on and on and on. Every scandal he's been involved in his administration and those around him, no accountability, regardless if it was criminal in nature, if it was, and Hillary Clinton is a great example of this. Today we have new information about her email scandal. Clinton has now been accused of instructing an aide to remove classified material and information from their server. Smoking gun. Email suggests Hillary broke the law. Now, this is something that really gets to me, because she's running for president, yet at the same time, you have people in the law enforcement community who are actually on this case or related to this case saying that this is a criminal investigation, not a a hearing in the Senate to determine what changes need to be made so this doesn't happen again. This is a criminal investigation being conducted by the FBI. So she's running for president while under investigation for breaking the law as Secretary of State for a number of reasons, most importantly taking classified material in a unresponsible way by having our own server, not using the government server, then lying about it further by destroying the server. And it just goes on and on. Here's what the article says. The latest batch of Hillary Clinton emails revealed by the State Department Friday contain what may be the smoking gun that forces the Justice Department to charge former Secretary of State with Hillary Clinton with a crime. I don't see that happening. The Justice Department filing charges against Hillary Clinton. But let's entertain this thought and continue with the article, as we're running out of time, top of the hour here. This is gigantic, said federal prosecutor Joseph. She caused to be removed a classified marking, and then it transmitted in an unencrypted manner. That is a felony. She removed the classified marking. That's a federal crime alone. It is the same thing to order someone to do it as if she had done it herself. On June 17, 2011, email chain with Deputy Secretary Advisor Jake Sullivan, Clinton apparently asked Sullivan to change the marking on classified information so that it had no longer been flagged as classified. And all this stuff about the marking and of classified material and being able to unmark it, I had no understanding of this until this email scandal came, but apparently all sensitive and classified information has special marks on it. Just think of a business that has, their letterhead on each piece of paper. Apparently these can be removed, and it is no longer, when you just look at it at face, appearing to be classified. So whether she removed those markings herself or asked somebody else to remove them is irrelevant, because it's a crime either way. So now, she had used her private email server and used it with and had classified material on it in an unsecured fashion, to the point that other countries, hackers, could access it. It was not protected by encryption and the same government technology that they use to keep these things secret and classified. So she was just basically, if she wanted to, you know, she could have been committing mass treason by sharing what was classified information, by unmarking it, and using it as though it was just regular, non-important or secretive national security pertaining information. But by instructing her aide and sending material marked classified as unclassified, it is not clear that she may only have received the information but intended to distribute it. And this means that when she says she never received anything marked or classified, she in fact did, only after she instructed her aide to remove all the classified tags. So, in a quick sentence to summarize it, basically she removed all the indicators that one would understand as classified material for her own convenience of using her own server. All this, criminal charges possible, doubtful, but it just speaks to the kind of person that she is, and this is not the first scandal she's been involved in. We know, you know, the big part of Benghazi, the Muammar Gaddafi, and this is the Democratic frontrunner who will get the Democratic nomination and quite possibly the presidency if elected. And we have the lawlessness of this president. And if Hillary Clinton were to be elected, how much more would the lawlessness be expanded without being checked? One thing we have to understand is when somebody encroaches on our territory, whether it is religious, it is political, and I'll use the example of, you know, standing at the edge of a cliff. You are standing there, 10 feet away behind you is the cliff where you can fall off. And somebody is in front of you and they get right in your face, your personal space, and you back up, right? They're encroaching on you. And they continue to encroach and encroach, and you offer no resistance. You keep backing up. Pretty soon you're going to fall off that cliff when you hit the edge. If we do not push back all the rights that we have, the freedoms we have that are being taken away, are going to continue to be taken away in a much faster pace as we continue to let it happen. A good example of not letting the encroachment continue was the TSA opt-out Thanksgiving protest, where it was Alex Jones of InfoWars who organized and started the opt-out, where he said everybody on Thanksgiving, the travel holiday, should, you know, opt out, causing a, you know, huge backlog and clog at the airports of people not wanting to go through the body scanners, instead being patted down. That was the opt-out rule, which has now been done away with. You no longer have the option to opt out, but the TSA was so intimidated and was so worried about what was going to happen, they shut down the actual scanners so they did not run into that problem. And that is not letting somebody encroach. The Tea Party flag, don't tread on me. The more we let people tread on us, the more that they encroach and tread, and we don't offer resistance. And resistance doesn't have to be something physical. It can be verbal. When we are indifferent, it's the same thing. It will be all taken away from us. And whether you like it or not, it doesn't matter. You either have to step up and take a stand, or you're going to get run over or pushed off a cliff. And this goes for not only the political world and you know, the realm of our rights as individuals and Americans, but more specifically, our spiritual life. If we let the devil encroach on us and we give him that space, he's going to try to take it all, including our soul and all those around us. Folks, we'll be back with John Little on the other side. Stay with us.
This is the Global Star Radio Network.